Erev Tov. We're going to be doing Parshas Bo today, and what I'm going to do at first is I want to show you an interesting theme. I just found it entertaining, at the very least, because but it's also instructive in terms of how to think like a mefarish, like a commentator. One of the things that the Aksav HaKabbalah does a number of times in this parsha. And we've seen him do this before as well, but it kept on popping up, and so I said, you know what, I'll highlight this as an introductory portion of the class. And in the handout which I gave you, it's more or less, I put them all, I think, in italics. So we can just jump around from the italics to the italics. And what is it? The Aksav HaKabbalah, in reading through the Torah, will find that a similar phrase is utilized in two different places, but the difference is in a word. Okay, so if you take a look, so turn to page 3 in your booklet, and you'll see in... So we're going to begin in Perek Yud. Perek Yud, where the pasuk is pasuk base. I don't know why I didn't give you pasuk base, but it's pasuk base. No. Oh, it is, because I interrupted with page 2. Okay, we'll get back to that. Okay, so it's pasuk base. So God is telling Moshe, Boa paroki ani echvarati es libo ves leva v'david manchisio sasai ila bikir bo. Okay? And uleman tisaper bios nei bincha uven bincha es asher es halalti b'mitzrayim. So it's actually, you have to read Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Beis, because in Pasuk Aleph, Hashem says to Moshe, Laman shisi ososai ele bekirbo. Now what does shisi mean?
Sign?
Well, I mean, just take a look at the article. The article says, so that I can put these signs of mine in his midst. Okay, so shisi, shin, saf, yud, means to place.
Shatnibo.
Okay, fine. Then the next pasuk he says is that I want you to tell your descendants what his salati b'mitzrayim v'es ososai asher santiva. Okay, so one is shisi ososai, and one is simas or santivam, the osos, the signs that I'm sam, that I'm, how would you translate sam?
Place.
Right, place, put, so it's the same translation basically. So he says, well, clearly, Hashem is using the same word, the same idea, but expressing it in two different ways, and two psukim, one pasuk right next to each other. So what's the difference between the two of them? Decent question? Decent question. Okay? So let's take a look. With me, middle of page 3. Ososai asher samti lamala marshi si ososai. Ki yesh hevdel le, who's Rav Shimon Peretz?
Shimon Peretz, I think.
Okay, you, Ellie looked it up. Ben shisa... The sima, lashon sima, who be'eno kavua tamid kin lefisha. When you place something in the form of sima, that is something which is not kavua, not going to last. It's just something for the moment. Right, v'lashon shisa, who be'inyan akavua l'zman meruba, something which is going to be established for a long time. Okay, adrachma ve'eva ashis. Remember that? That's when after the eating of the, okay, ve'eva ashis beinecha uveina isha. That's what's called to the nachash, right? Okay, to the serpent. Ilo amar ve'eva asim hayesovel gam kein shdiyeva l'fisha. If he says I'm going to place it in the sima means short time, but eva ashis means it's for forever. If it just said sima, then it would lo timshoch zman meruba. Ve'achshav shamar ve'eva ashis. What's the lomar shetimshoch ha'eva ve'atamid kol chaye isha uzara? The enmity between the nachash and the isha is forever. Uzeh hu nachsham v'shem sheis al yisodos hakruos tachas abinyan fundament. Love that word. Fundament. Hashatos yeherasun. Kol b'nei sheis. So it's actually... You know, it's funny, because what he says is, You know, what was the name of the third son of Adam and Chava?
It was Seth, Shays.
Interesting. What's the? Well, I don't know, I'm not going to compare it to the son of Noah, whose name is Shem.
Shays is forever.
Right. Right? Forever. So look what he says. Kol b'nei Shays. Yosef Amar V'yasima Eini Alav She'enu Kiyem V'fisha. Remember what Yosef said? I want to bring down Binyamin because I want to place my name on it, my face on it. I want to look at it, my eyes on it. That was just, you just wanted to see him. V'Hashem Yisbarach Amar L'Yaakov Yosef Yashis Yado. Okay, whatever Yosef Yashis Yado means in terms of what is Yosef actually going to be doing? But the point is that it's going to be an eternal protection, an eternal connection that Yaakov and Yosef are going to experience together in Egypt. Ali Nechem Bahasmada Vakiyum. Yaakov Lokach Darkol Fisha Shenemar or Nemar Bova Yosem Panav Har Hagilad. At one point, Yaakov turns his direction toward Har Hagilad. How long is that supposed to last?
Temporary.
That's not Yaakov's permanent abode. Amnam Bilam Ratzel Lefol Be'ino Harab Asmodas Mechuvenes Shenemar Bo VaYoshes Almid Bar Panav. Bilam wanted to basically destroy the Bnei Yisrael forever. He wants his brachos or his klalos to last forever. VaYoshes Almid Bar Panav. Okay, so if you want to skip a line or two. L'chein Amar, you see where I am? L'chein Amar, al anshe ador ahu, lashon, shisi, ososai, eile. Right? What is God saying? Ani echbarati es libo ves leiv avadav, l'man shisi, ososai, eile, b'kirbo. That's talking about the impact that I want to have on Paro and his servants who are living today. Yashis. What's Yashis?
Temporary.
Nope. What do we say? Shisa uz b'inyan kavua, okay. Avol adoros haboy macharehem. Asher piyashmul levad yedu meneflos ha'ela. Einam lahem losos rais kavuos. The only people who need to see this in a permanent sense are those who are living now, because they are who. They are the oppressors, right? This is a big debate today, a big debate in American society. What's the debate in American society? Reparations for slavery, and what's my argument? Sorry, my grandfather came over in 1937, or whatever it was. My other ancestors came to this country in the early 1900s. What's makes of me, my reparations? I had nothing to do with it. And many people today, even those whose great-great-great-grandparents may have owned plantations, but they didn't own slaves now, so reparations? So you're going to hold later generations of Egyptians accountable for whatever it was? Like, they don't need to know in the same way that this one does. He says, that's on that generation, on that group. They don't need to know about God in the same way. Why? Because Israel is going to be gone. They're not going to be there anymore. And they may not even trust whatever their parents tell them. So, what's Sima? Sima is Eino Kavua. In other words, it's the Osos that I did with them once upon a time in Egypt. Israel has a different lesson to learn. Their lesson is a Shisa lesson, but not about this. They have to learn about God, and that's going to come. So that's the first one here, distinguishing between those who are alive at that time and the Bnei Yisrael who are going to be learning a lesson about what happened to Egypt at that time. That is, okay, that's one. Okay, next. Pasuk Yudbeis. Okay, so again, we're skipping around right now just to see his distinction between words. I don't want to spend the time reading this one in, but just to point out to you what the distinction in language is, and then I'll give it to you outside. Okay, look in Pasuk Yibes. Ayomar Hashem Moshe, on page 342, first Pasuk in Cheney. Ayomar Hashem Moshe, Nehei Chal Eretz Mitzrayim Ba'arbe. You're gonna stretch your arm over Egypt, and you're going to bring the locusts. V'yal al eretz Mitzrayim, v'yochal eskal esav la'aretz, es kol asher hishir abarot. You're going to bring everything, you're going to bring, the arbeh is going to consume everything that the barod left behind. Okay? Look at Pasuk Tezvav. What happens is, v'yichas esein kol ha'aretz, v'techshach ha'aretz, v'yochal eskal esav la'aretz, eskal priyetz, asher ho, hosir ha'barot. Okay? Hishir, that's what you have in Pasuk Yudbeis, and in Pasuk Tezvav you have Hosir Habarot. Right? Hosir is a word which we're familiar with, right?
Yeah,
Nosar?
Nosar, leftover.
Nosar, no leftover, right? We're familiar with it from Karbanos. Okay, so what's the what's the difference between Sha'ar and Nosar? What's the difference? Okay?
Okay.
So he says the following. I'm not reading it inside, but you know, if you want to just try to follow me along. He says, on the second line, he says, Chelek HaNishar Chashuv Alav. Okay, Sha'ar equals Chashuv. Nosar is something which is not so Chashuv, not so important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? After the flood, Vayisha'er Ach Noach. Vayasher Ito Bateva. That's Noach. Yaakov, when he is asked about sending Binyamin, he says, Hulavado Nishar. Remember, Nishar is Chashuv, important. Yehuda, when Yehuda describes, this is where we saw it, by the way. That's what it was. When Yehuda describes Binyamin to Yosef, he says, Vayivaser Hulavado. Right? Because to me, But to the father, Nishar. Okay? So what the real question is regarding the sons of Aaron. Remember, after Nadav and Avihu have died, the Pasuk describes Elazar and Isamar as Banov and Osarim. See what he's saying? That his sons are not Chashuv?
Yeah.
So that, he says, that is amazing.
Yeah.
He says, maybe you're familiar with the idea that... it has nothing to do with them. That on account of Aaron's sin with the golden calf, he was supposed to lose
all of them. Okay.
There was a warrant on all of them, so to speak, from the Rabbanu Shalom. And Nadav and Avihu, I mean, there's a lot of reasons given why Nadav and Avihu died. Okay, but the way that he puts it is like this. If you find, it's back in the middle of this whole thing, there's a parenthesis, okay, in the middle of this, where it says, Vayikra, right?
Four lines
on the top, from the top, page four. But they too were supposed to die. And they, how did they get out of it?
They were minor people.
When they were determined to be not so chashuv. Right, remember, what does Moshe say to Aaron after Nadav and Avihu died? Who asher diber Hashem bikrovai ekadesh? God says, "I'm taking my best ones." So, what does He have to say? Elazar and Itamar.
Wow.
No, sorry. Okay. So, no, in a way, that's to protect them. Isn't that incredible? Okay. Hachol Amar Rabbi Seinu. I'm sorry. No, I skipped. Hashem no sorry. V'lo nesherim. V'amar v'Yaakov roes tzon lavan anosaros. Amar Rabbi Seinu. Yaakov is watching the remaining sheep of Lavan. These are the ones from whom he gets all the sheep that are going to become his income. Hacholos vagruos. Okay, and he goes on in this vein, just demonstrating the difference between these. Okay, so I thought following the same thing, I thought that was interesting. All right, next one. Oh, I love this one. Okay, go to Parakeet Aleph. No, but this isn't mind-blowing stuff, but it's just, it's fascinating because you don't even think about this. Look at Pasuk Hey. We're on page 346, Pasuk Hey. Vayomer Moshe, sorry, that's the Pasuk Dal. So I'm just talking with Rabbi. Vayomer Moshe, Komar Hashem, Kachatzos Alayla, Leni Yosef, Vesok Mitzrayim. Moshe says, midnight, I'm going out to Egypt. Meis Kol B'chor B'eretz Mitzrayim, all the firstborns are going to die. I'm sorry, Moshe says that. Hashem says, I'm going to go through the land, and the firstborn is going to die. Mibuchor Paro Yeshev Al Kiso, from the firstborn of Paro, who sits on his throne, Ad Bechor Ashivcha, all the way down to the bechor of the shifcha. What's a shifcha?
Maidservant.
A maid. Okay? Right? That's the pasuk. Now, what actually happens? Let's see. Hold on. I just want to compare it based pasuk haftes. Okay? So, turn the page. Just look at it in the pasuk. I mean, we could just read it in the Ksav HaKabbalah, but we have a chumash, so let's take a look. It's Shishi, page 356. So it's midnight. Hashem strikes the firstborns. Bechor Paro yeshev al kisov, from the Bechor of Paro sits on his chair. Ad Bechor Hashvi, Asher bevei sabor, until the Bechor of the Shvi. Didn't it say the Bechor Shivcha? Totally different words. So why does it change? Okay, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a Shivcha and a captive? What's a shvi? Somebody who's usually imprisoned somewhere, right? Take a look. Okay. Okay. Look, Kamon Amar Bechor Shvi. Kvar Amram Bechor Shvi Shinyan Shnehem Echad. Ki Ashvuya Shivcha Hi. He says a Shivuya and a Shivcha is the same person. Beyom Hitochenes Veosa Malacha. In the daytime, the Shivcha, she does work. Ubalayla Yisamua Bebor. And nighttime, she's a day laborer, and at nighttime she has to go back to her solitary confinement. Now I understand the difference between the language. When Moshe is telling Paro what's going to happen, what's he saying? When is Moshe talking to him?
In the daytime.
In the daytime. Okay, but when it actually happens, what time is it? In the nighttime. Moshe, Mamaro, Paro, Yabio. Day. Lachena, Mabachor, Shivcha, Sherechar, Rechaim. She's talking about the lady who is busy working. Kibiyom, Shivcha, Shivuya, Mushubet, Slavon. She's working. Amnam, Kashechola, Makas, Bechoros. When it actually happens, Hayabalaila, it's the middle of the night. That's what Pasuk says, right? Bachatzos, Alayla. Lachena, Karosa, Bechor, Shvi. So it's the firstborn of the captive, of the imprisoned lady. Asher, Bebe, Sabor. When it's not a time for working, Hoysa Asura Babor. She's locked up in the boar. Okay? Just cool stuff related to explaining the difference in language. Now it's amazing though. This is mind blowing. I'll tell you why. Because you note how the Shivcha, the Egyptian Shivcha, what is she doing at night? She's in jail, but she's not working. So what does she have a chance to do?
Mosquito stuff?
No. To sleep, right? She can rest from her work. Okay, one of the interpretations that he gives us about the idea of the... You know, there's a very odd pasuk in the Parsha that describes when they leave Egypt that it's at the end of how many years? Remember?
10.
No, well, that's how long they were in Egypt. But at the end of, it's going to tell us 430 years. Mikates... right? So he says, where do you get the 430? So one of the things, hopefully we'll have the time to look at it, but one of the things which he says is, we actually have to, you have to look at it, their time in Egypt really starts counting from the time that Menashe and Ephraim were born. Okay? The amount of time that Yosef, whatever it means, but he basically says it's 5 years. So 5 years before Yaakov comes down to Egypt, because from the time Yaakov comes down, that's when 210. Right. Add five, okay? So that's 215. So he says now it doesn't really work because they weren't really enslaved for all that time. While Yosef is alive, they're certainly not enslaved. But nonetheless, he says 215 because you have to count Yom Valayla. He says you count the day and the night, and therefore it ends up being double. That's how you get to 430. Again, it's challenging because of the numbers game that we play. But that's one of the interpretations which he gives. Again, it has questions. Yeah, we have questions. But anyway, okay. So that's another one. Let's take. I think I had one more, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not. Oh yeah, okay. So this is just a he doesn't really touch upon it here, but he says that he's going to touch it later. Okay, so it's pasuk tes. I don't have to read it to you. It's really just the last line because he tells you that he addresses it more in Parshas Kedoshim. But the pasuk when it's referring to the Karban Pesach, pasuk says al tochlu mimenu na. I don't eat the Karban Pesach in a raw state. So his question is, it's really, let's see. Okay. Lachain, so he talks about the different, he says, why does it say, Al tochalu mimenu na? Okay? Shalo yavo lidei isur na. That you shouldn't come to the point where you are violating the prohibition of eating raw. Lachain lo amar lashon lo tochalu, ela al tochalu. Uvekadoshim yivor ahavdel shebein shalilas al, shebein shalilas lo. So now when we get to Kadoshim, he'll probably make a reference to this. You say, well, I thought we learned it already. And the answer is no, we didn't learn about it. But we get a preview over here about the difference between al and lo. All right, if you tell me what's the difference between lo sochalu mimenu na and al tochalu mimenu na, I'd say, I don't know, sounds the same to me, because they both mean, yeah, you know, they're both negative. Right? Al is don't, and lo tochalu means do not. It's the same thing, right? So he says that there is a distinction to be made. And that would be...
We will get to that.
Okay, and we'll get to that part of the Kedosh. Okay, so that was the first thing that I just wanted to show you, how he demonstrates a distinction in words. Now, once we're in that, that's actually a nice little segue into the first thing which he addresses here at the beginning of the Parsha. Okay? So we go back to the beginning of the Parsha. Okay, now some of this we're probably familiar with because of the language and of course the question of the ultimate goal of the Makos. So take a look at the very first pasuk. Hashem says to Moshe, "Come to Paro because I have hichbaraki." What does hichbaraki mean?
Hardened.
Oh, okay, exactly, right? Whatever it means. Right? Okay, hichbarati yaslibo. And the heart of his...
encouraged.
And the heart of his servants, so that I can go ahead and shitzio sasai. We've already addressed shitzio sasai. So the question is, what role is God really playing when it comes to Paro's heart? So there's another phrase which we should be familiar with. Right? This is kibud lev. And what's the other phrase? Anyone remember? Go turn back one page. Look at the very end of last week's parsha. It's the very last thing. Okay? So, yeah, you know, it's interesting because it doesn't really say at the very end, but it does say. Okay, vayechazak leparo. Okay, vayechazak. So sometimes Paro's heart is mischazek, and sometimes it's miskabed, okay, whatever that means. And sometimes Hashem actually does it. Now, I don't think it ever says that vayechbed Hashem es libo. It always says vayechbed Paro es libo. But it does say vayechazek Hashem as lev. I think it says it after Shchin. If you just go back half a page, you see. It's on page 334, Pasuk Beis. After the plague of Shchin boils, it says vayechazek Hashem as lev Paro. V'lo shema alihem kasher diber Hashem Moshe. Hashem did chizuk. Okay, whatever that means. Some people talk about that in the negative, and some people talk about it in the positive. Now here, it's in the aftermath of Barad, where Hashem says, Hichbaraki eslibo. Now we didn't see it immediately after the Barad, we're seeing it here. Now what else do we see happen? Take a look at the bottom of the next page, page 342, after the plague of the Arbeh, Vayechazek Hashem eslev paro v'lo shilachas b'nei Yisrael. Okay? Now there was another phrase that Hashem used to describe what's going to happen to Paro's heart. Anyone remember? At some point, I don't remember where, but Hashem says, Vani akshe es libo. Okay? So now the question is, what do these three words mean? Okay, what do they mean? And they're different words. Do they all mean the same thing? Do they mean different things? Okay. So actually, before we get into what he says here, we actually have to take a look at page 2. Because we didn't do this in Parsha Shmos. We should have. But this is what he said in Parsha Shmos. Okay, page 2 is what he says in Parsha Shmos, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. And where is Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Aleph? That is before Moshe goes back. So the burning bush is over. Moshe's already asked permission from Yisro to go, but he hasn't exactly left yet. Page 2. Okay, the part which the whole thing is in bold. Page 2 in the booklet. You see it says at the top, Shmos Dalet? So that's the hotel incident is Chaf Gimel to Chaf Hei. So this is 2 psukim before that. Okay? So,
you were
but this is, it's essential to see this, before reading through it. So I'm going to just skip a little bit. Take a look, five lines down. Vahodia, again, I'm on page 2 in Shmos Dalet. Vahodia hu yizbarach, in the middle of the line. Vahodia hu yizbarach is called Zos l'moshe l'yisrael mikodim. Hashem mentioned that Paro has to go through a process of chizuk lev. What's that mean? B'chdei shelo yisyashu menachu ha-muftachos ha-muftachas lahem, that the people need to know that Paro is going to give them a hard time so that they won't give up hope. V'tochaltam tia tamid b'Hashem, and they'll still have hope in God. Kihu yamod limines or some, because he's going to help them. And eventually, something's going to happen with Paro's stubbornness. Shorish chazak. With me?
Yeah.
Shorish chazak yoregam bekaveda achiza v'atvisa b'koach uv'chazka k'mod l'chazek yadayim rafos. So what does chazak mean? Chazak means strength. Okay, now is strength a bad thing? Usually when we use the word strength, we're talking about something which is good. So the idea that God is going to give chizuk to Paro's heart is not to make Paro stubborn. Right? That's a misconception. Okay? V'hi melitza, ki'ilu tovez b'yadav m'seyeh b'kocho bal yirpeh b'yaleh. So it's not that you have to understand something which is really essential. To the idea of what Paro, I don't know if it's a transformation that Paro needs to go through, but it's really a recognition. Okay, more than anything, and I know I've highlighted this point last week and the week before, and that is that what Paro, when Moshe comes in and says, Hashem says, let my people go, and Paro says, Mi Hashem, that's a declaration of war. And Hashem essentially says to Paro, okay, you don't know who I am? Okay, well, that's our goal now. You have to know who I am. And once you know who I am, because if Paro would only say, I heard this Hashem is going to come and he's going to say, let the people go. If that's the time and you're the guy, all right, it's time to go. That's what Paro should have said. If Paro had done that, would there have been Makos? For what reason? For what purpose? Paro recognizes God, end of story. But when Paro says, I don't know who God is, and I don't believe in him, so that becomes the goal. So Paro has to come to a recognition on his own that I accept that God is king of the world and that God is calling the shots. And once I accept that, because I accept that, I understand and I recognize it's time to let the Bnei Israel go.
So that's why he can become the king of Nineveh.
All right, well, that's a longer story. That's beyond our story. Okay, but once Paro has come to that conclusion, then Paro, of his own free will, is saying, all right, time to go. But if the Makos are saying to Paro, beat you, and Paro says, I can't take it anymore, you can go. Paro hasn't come to any recognition.
So this helps him, this strengthens him.
That's the point of Chizuk. Mm-hmm. Chizuk is to help Paro not give in to the plague, because that means defeat. It's not about defeat. Wow. It's about recognition of God. Okay? Amnam, Rov HaMeforshim Yavinu Melitza Zov, Chain Ba'amar, Ani Akshe Esli Paro, Ani Akbarati Esli Bo, Shemi Rov Risho, V'Godo B'Shov, Din Alu B'Fonov, Darki Atshuva. All the commentaries say that because Paro was such a Rasha, and because he was such a sinner, that he couldn't do tshuva. He says, but from what the rabbis teach, the opposite has to be true. Why is God giving time? Okay, you know, he says to Paro, hey Paro, the Makkah is going to come tomorrow. Why don't you just do it now? Why do you have to wait until tomorrow? Because what does Paro have to say? You know what? I don't think I really want to deal with another Makkah. I believe you're God. You're right. Okay, because before the Makkah comes, Paro has free will. Once the Makkah comes, Paro doesn't have free will. He's bowing to the fact that somebody's beating him up. That doesn't work. That's not what Yetzias Mitzrayim needs to come from. What's the point of saying it's going to come tomorrow? Kadesha Yachzur B'Hem Yasa Tshuva. That they should say, you know what, I'm going to do Tshuva. Al Kein B'Divrayim Eile, Nir Ba'Elil. Paro always had the opportunity to do tshuva The idea that God keeps on giving power the chance to do tshuva. If an executioner comes over to a person and says, "Hey, I'm going to kill you tomorrow unless you change your ways." Right? Think about what happened in Nineveh. Yonah says, "Od 40 yom, v'Nineveh nepeches." So what do the people do?
Tshuva.
Tshuva. Right? Because they have the opportunity. If you say, the city's starting to turn over, maybe we should... It's too late. Right? If the people in Sodom had said, there's a storm coming here. I see it already. The Gafris Vamelach is already destroying. You can't start doing tshuva there. It's too late. Gzar din. But Od 40 yom, or Machar, you have free will. Don't say that all of these words are causing Paro to be more stubborn. He says all of the makos, they're a punishment to power for his sins. Don't think that the chozek and the omitz, that all this stubbornness is to get Paro to refuse to listen. Avol ta'amo Shashem Yisbarach and Nicho Bechozek Bekabdus Libo. God is giving him the strength of the heart and the Kabdus. Now, Kabdus could be heavy, but it could also mean dignity, of the heart. Amnon Lefisha Yabiyadu Yisbarach Lasmida Love Maka Achas Achatia Maka Bilti Sarmianu. Right? God could have said, you know what? I'm going to give one Maka, and it's just going to be an everlasting, I'll give you leprosy, for example. I'll give you tzaras, and there you go. Until you decide enough's enough. God didn't do that. This is why Paro was so, wishy-washy. He's just like, okay, the maka comes, and then the maka goes. Well, so what do I need this God for? Right? It goes away. Right. So, Paro, you're not getting the point. So he needed Okay, it's essentially the same idea. In other words, that Paro needed to have the strength of his own wherewithal to be able to say, you know what? I haven't come to this conclusion yet, and my heart is not going to sway me because I'm not ready. And only when he did come to that recognition, right? What does Paro say at the end? Hashem et tzaddik, v'anochi v'amir shayim. Okay, well, when that happens, then it's time to be able to let the Bnei Israel go. So now go back to page 1. Ulaman tisaper bi'oznei bimcha. Okay, and this is what he says. Okay, so we're going to read a couple lines and then we're going to skip a little bit. Okay, Dugma Hashem Amar Moshe LeParo Ba'avur Zos Samaraticha Leman Saper Shemi B'chol Aretz. Okay, so this is one of the examples. Uleman Tesaper BiOznei Bincha Ven Bincha. What you are going to tell? Now it's actually an interesting question. Uleman Tesaper BiOznei Bincha Ven Bincha Sasher Salalti Mitzrayim. So it would seem from the commentary actually we saw before. That who's the bincha, ben bincha, who need to hear about this? Is it Bnei? Correct. Okay, it's the Egyptians. It just occurred to me. Okay, so this is something that you, Paro, are going to have to tell over to your future generations. Ben bincha, asher salati mitzrayim, asher sam tivam, vidatem ki ani Hashem. Okay, this is not a tzivui from Moshe to the Bnei Israel. This is Moshe to Paro, and this is the legacy to Paro. So, and again, lament that they need to understand who God is. That when the pasuk says, Lo nishar bohem ad echad, that there was none left, ad echad means except one. Okay, that's the source of the idea that Paro survived the Kriyas Yamsuf. Ki Elu Nevdu Kulam, Belishum Plaita, if they had all drowned at the sea and not one, Belishum Plaita Mehem, Mi Yodia, Lisharumos, Masi Agadol, and Asim Kriyas Yamsuf. You need to have a witness, at least one witness, to be able to tell what happened to Egypt at that time. Hine Lefizesh, Neemikros Ela, Hemoda, Leparo Mimoshes. He says those two psukim are clearly a message to Paro from Moshe. Okay, now skip a little bit. Okay, now we're going to go down to let's see. It's Mizet Ta Paro Lachshov Ki Kol Ikar. So where is that? It's about 10-11 lines down in the middle of the line. Okay, it's the line below where the parenthesis closes. Okay, mizet ta paro lachshov.
Okay, in the middle
line, mizet ta paro lachshov ki kol ikar amuchuvam makos einu kim lahotzias bnei Yisrael me'etzo. Says this is the problem that Paro had. Paro thought that the makos were meant to patch him and patch him and patch him until he says uncle. Okay, but he says that that's a mistake. Ba'afshe hizkilo b'chol pam, and even though you know how many times Moshe reminds Paro, gama amuchuvan amitimin amaka, the real message of the Makkah was Shibol Akiro Lodio Amitius Munas Bori Olamanoga. So how many times is it? Lamante da Kiani Hashem Karbarts. Lamante da Kian Kamoni Bikalarts. Lamante Vyadumitraim Kiani Hashem. Right? I mean that's the point that Egypt is supposed to know. Biom Roy Love Mante da Kiani Hashem Kiani Hashem Karbarts Kian Kamoni Bikozos Khasha Paro. Change the Yimak Ikarman. Paro still says no, that's not really the point. Kiyam Bishal Khosa Am Lakhovshi. God wants them to go free. It has nothing to do with what I understand or what I believe. So God wants Moshe to tell Moshe, you know, the guy's not getting the real message. You're going to have to spell it out to him. Ulahodio, to let him know. The point of the Makos is not to get Paro to say uncle and to let the Jews out. Avaliosan osos virayos, that we signs and proofs sheakiru viedu, so that they will recognize and know ki yesh Elohei ba'aretz v'chadomeh me'amitius. They need to understand the truth of God's existence. Power on the Egyptians. Zehu v'dati hamechuvan b'mekraos eila. The Ksav HaKabbal says this is clear to me what the point of these psukim are. Amnam. Rashi Osif Ba El Paro V'Hisrbo V'Alav Osif Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrachi Otos Zacher V'Zelashanu. So now he's quoting Eliyahu Mizrachi, who says the following: V'Hasra Zos Mufureshes B'Hasara Moshe L'Paro. Right, this warning is clear in what Moshe says to Paro. Moshe, he doesn't need to be, the Torah doesn't need to put it in the mouth of what Hashem says to Moshe. So what do you think the Ksav HaKabbal is going to say about that? He says there's this warning, right? I think it's Rashi who says that. Right, a warning. Okay, so he says that Rashi seems to imply that that's missing from the pasuk. That's the Ksav HaKabbal is saying.
Nothing's missing.
Right, so he says this is not a warning. This is a teachable moment for Moshe. Hey, Paro, you need to understand what the message is. Klamar, so, but the idea is something's missing is Klamar, Alek Shalacha, Alomri Lucha, Shehisrabo, Akar Omrucha Tassi, Apam, Ken Yechbarati, Slibo, Akar Zel, Manchisio, Sahil, and Iskrim, Kribo, Adkandato, Behadochat Mavur. What is he saying? He says, it's such a stretch, and it's so clear to me that it's such a stretch, because I'm telling you there's nothing missing from the Torah. The Odo does all the motions, Kabu Slay Paro, in enemy Tzaratzma, Kiemi Meru Yisbarach, Ukan Achlamosar. He says that the idea of Kavdus Le Paro is not coming from Paro. It's coming from God. God told Moshe, this is going to happen. In other words, the point that the Ksav HaKabbal is taking out is that all these different words, they have different impacts on the heart. For sure, but they're not God taking away Paro's free will. and making Paro stubborn. On the contrary, they're giving him chizuk to help him be able to get to the real message, which isn't "Uncle, you win, I lose." It's "God is tzaddik v'ani amir rasha'im." Okay, wow. And so he says, and that's essentially the point. At the very end, he says, "Chozek." If you look at the last two lines, "Chozek achizas atzara b'leiv." Right, it's chozek is like holding on to the pain in the heart. Koshi, right? V'ani akshes leparo is yagon leiv. These feelings need to enter Paro's heart. The kovet is mas as daagas aleif. Okay, that was why I gave you the part in Shmos. And basically, all this is meant to impact Paro's heart in different ways, but to get Paro to the point where he's receptive to the idea that Hashem is Hashem. That's what this is about. It's not, and it's so, until I learned this perspective, and I saw this before the Ksav HaKabbalah. I think Rabbi Foreman taught this, but the point of the and it's also famously comes from the Sephorno. He also teaches this perspective. But I was, you know, as a kid, I was always taught Hashem made Paro stop. Paro wanted to give in, and Hashem made Paro. No, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Because then you have free choice.
Because then it's not exactly. What?
That is totally unfair.
Right.
That's what Hashem did.
Yeah.
Right. But to give him the chizuk to say, I'm not going to give in because I lost, but I need to get to this point of Yadu Mitzrayim. And how could it be so overemphasized and then all the Mefarshim ignore it?
They all do.
Okay, I mean, I don't know if they all ignore it, but they don't draw it out in the same way that he draws it out to teach us this very important lesson about what it was that Paro needed to get to. And of course, that was also an important stage for the Bnei Yisrael to understand and to get to, that they also need to recognize who God is. Hopefully, it was a little easier for them. But anyway, okay.
Where do you put it, or how do you fit into your picture? The episode when Moshe comes to God, and you know, from that time that you sent me. Yeah, the Jews won't listen to me.
When Moshe says they won't listen to me,
it's gotten worse.
Yeah, at
at the end of Parsha Shmos.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's why Moshe is given the shlichus again at the beginning of Va'era. He says you have to tell them. Hotzeisi tzalti galti lekachti, and they need to understand.
After that.
I mean, in the Torah's chronology, it's after. Presuming, I assume that it is in the chronology of Moshe's experience too. In other words, Moshe says they're not listening to me, right? I mean, look, even in Va'era at the very beginning, Moshe says Lo Shamu El Moshe Mikotze Ruach Me'Avodah Kasha. But that, listen, what happens once the makos start kicking in? There's no more Avodah Kasha, right? I mean, the labor is suspended. During that time, the people, they have a chance to recognize. You know, Paro is saying, look, the Egyptians keep coming to Paro, and they say, look, take a look at what happens with Arbe. Moshe gives them enough warning, and all of Paro's servants come to him and say, Adma Sayi is a London location. I mean, seriously, Paro, do you not see what's going on here? They got it. I would imagine at this point in time, most of the Bnei Israel got it too.
Uh-huh.
Right? Those who didn't get it, as Chazal, they say that in the Choshech, a sizable portion disappeared. But,
super question. Yeah. What's the difference between Yagon Lev and Dagas Lev? Is it weariness versus worry?
I Yagon, I think, is more sorrow, and Daga is worry. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we move on to the next one. We just saw the last two lines in the one we just saw. Okay, last two lines in the book. Okay. Let me see. Here.
Which page?
No, that was the last two lines on page one. Okay.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay. Oh, this was really cool. All right. So now take a look. Hisalati. I'm not going to have time to go through all this. He talks about the difference between. I should have gone into this. The difference between hisalati and hisnasus. That he doesn't quote a pasuk elsewhere where hisnasus. There's different ways of being raised in the amongst the people. So I just want to point out the last two lines here. Be'er HaKasuv. Yeah, yeah. Last, yeah, on page three, the last three lines of the one of the first comment that we have there. Okay, so where it says Ubiera Kasuf, what the pasuk is explaining to us. Last three lines towards the end of the line. Ubiera Hakasuf. Yeah.
Okay.
Ubiera Kasuf. Yeah, that's where Ubiera Kasuf. Shemitoch Nifla Osav. What the pasuk here is showing us. That from his niflaos shebemitzrayim, hera atzmo Allah. Okay, he's raised up. There's a difference between his alus being raised with ayin lamid and his nasus being raised in nun sin aleph. And the Aksav HaKabbal explains the difference before this. Ki mitoch mitzrayim nisparsem elaoso be'olam, because from within Egypt, God's godliness became known to the world. Okay, that who raises you up, me'eretz Mitzrayim, because that kind of aliyah, that kind of being raised, is from Eretz Mitzrayim. The idea that there's a God who defeated us has to stem forth from Egypt, because how else is the world going to listen? If the Bnei Yisrael come along and they say, "Ah, God, he took us out of Egypt, he's wonderful," everyone says, "Yeah, well, we still hate you." But if Egypt says it, that's Hama'alcha me'eretz Mitzrayim.
It was through them.
Through them, okay? V'yamar me'eretz Mitzrayim, hischilu abrios le'da osi. And what he's saying is that from Egypt, the world came to know who I am. V'noda ba'goyim shmi li'osi mishanat va'im b'nisim afursamim anodaim ba'olam. That's how they get to know my name, because of the miracles that change the teva, that change the nature in the world. So it comes from Egypt. Fascinating idea.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. $1 or $3. Oh. Okay. Yudal. I know why I did Yudal. Okay, I like this one. All right. So now Paro, in response to all this, they come to Paro, and look at the last pasuk in. On page 342, Paro says, "Who's going?" So Moshe says, "We're all going." Okay, we're all going. And Paro says, "Yehi chen Hashem achem kasher ashalach estemi estapchem." He says, "God will be with you if I send you and your children." Ru'u ki ra'a neged p'nechem. Lo chen l'chuna agvarim yevdu as Hashem ki osas atam vakshim aygarish osam yes p'nei Paro. Paro says, "No way, nothing doing. The men can go, that's all, nothing else." Okay? Mm-hmm. So, when you read Pasuk Yud, what is Paro saying when he says, Yihichen Hashem Achen Kasher Ashalach Estem Yastapcha? How is he saying?
To actually be with you as much as I'm going to be, meaning not at all.
Right. In other words, he's saying, right? Go Kishma, right? That's what Paro's saying, right?
Are you being
paid? Yes. Kishma kain who? Okay, that's what it's saying. Okay. Anyway, so what is he saying? Regilin, look at the Ksav HaKadosh. Yichin, Kasher. Says, Regilin, the Parsha Loshon Klal. Everybody says it's a curse. Parsha's saying, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, you're God. Uh-huh, God. You need your kids. Uh-huh, right. He says, I say it's Loshon Tmiya. Right? No wonder. V'tam mohachi. Ein ratzan Hashem li'os yimachem v'chag asher atem ratzim l'chog l'fanav. Rak opens them. Mishalach eschem yestapchem. Says, "What? You really think your God doesn't want to come with you, unless your children are there as well? Come on, your God likes tefillah. What happens if you guys show up to shul and you don't have kids there? Davening doesn't work. Of course it works. So you don't need your kids there. Okay. In other words, he's saying it's not a curse. Paro's just like he just doesn't understand this concept. Right? Who are the priests? The adults. Who prays? Adults. Who does the service of God? Adults." The kids, you got to eventually teach them, whatever it is. But they don't. You don't need them there. What's the Yiddish here? Will oif diese weise nur Gott min...
Will
oif diese weise nur Gott... What does that mean?
Only on this way will God be with you.
Right, no way. Well, that's the only way. So he's saying, Paro's not such a rude person. He just doesn't get it. He doesn't get it.
Okay.
Okay, that was in Pasuk Yud Aleph.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Okay.
What?
The end is very strange.
Well, he doesn't address it, unfortunately. I wish he did. He skips it. All right. So, okay. Okay. Just one more quickie, and that is on Yudalid. Okay? This is just, I love when he does this, because we don't, you know, we don't. Yeah. Pasuk Yudalid. Ayal arba akal eretz Yitzrayim, v'yonach v'chol gu Yitzrayim, kaveh me'od, lefanav lo hayachin arba kamohu, v'acharav lo yakein. Okay, he says, what is lo hayakein arbe kamohu? That there wasn't an arbe kamohu. How do you translate kamohu?
Like that.
What does that mean?
You'll never have a locust swarm like that.
Like what? What does that mean? What does that mean?
Of that magnitude. Right?
Okay, so you're saying it has to do with numbers. Okay, so but is that clear?
No, it's not.
Okay, it's not clear. So he says it is clear. Okay? Im ye kamohu milas ha-dimyon ha-shvah hu lemosar ki kvar kodam ila milas kain l'chein yireshu me'inyan kamo yimei shnei chayecha. He says kamohu is a question of numbers. Simple. Shehu al kamus ha-mispar lo haya arba kain kamohu, like kamo yimei shnei chayecha, how many are the years of your life? Says there wasn't an arba kamohu in terms of numbers, because kama means numbers. It doesn't mean like. It's not a lashon hashiva'ah that there wasn't a comparable one. It means there was. It's just a simple matter of numbers. That's it.
And that's it.
Okay. Simple insight, and it's not such a crazy.
No.
You know, it's not such a crazy jump off the page. Okay.
Right.
I'm not going to read the next one either inside. But this, you really have to study this pasuk, the one in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, in which he describes the Choshech. Okay, the pasuk says, turn to page 344. He says there's going to be a darkness over Egypt, and the Choshech is going to be, the darkness is going to be tangible, palpable. Okay, what does that mean? When we think about darkness, how do we explain the darkness that took place in Egypt? Now we showed a video, a film, I found it on the internet, where they tried to make an argument about how all the different makos were done through some kind of natural phenomenon. And one of the arguments that they made was that there was a volcano which erupted in Greece at the time, and that the smoke just filled the air, and you couldn't see, and it just it covered Egypt, and that's how you could feel it.
Yes.
Okay? So you know what he says?
Okay.
He says that the word vayhi, Choshech, vayhi, just look at the first line. Milas yihi more al havaya, mitzius davar ma. He says there's some things you just can't explain. The choshech is it's a new kind of choshech. It's a darkness. It's not the darkness of nighttime, which is just the absence of light. Shemitam zeh lo nizkar havaya. It's a choshech mas abrasius. He says you don't have that when. Right, how does it describe Choshech in Ma'aseh Bereishis? I want to read it. What does he say? Vayomer Elohim Yehi Or, Vayehi Or, Vayavdel Elohim Bein Or Bein Choshech. God said Yehi Or. But what? But Choshech just. The absence of or, right, is choshech. Right, what did it say before? The ha'aretz ha'isa sohu v'vohu v'choshech. Okay, right. V'choshech. Okay, so there was choshech. So what it said, the or needs to be created. Now what's that or? Well, we don't know. It's not sunlight.
Right.
Right? Because the sun isn't. Because the sun isn't created until later. So this light is a different kind of light. So now the fact that it says vayhi choshech.
Was the darkness already, and God brings light, or is it always light and God creates darkness?
No, the pasuk describes it being choshech, and then God says yihi or. Yihi is lashon havaya, meaning make something, to create something.
Yeah.
So the fact that it says here, vayihi choshech, yihi choshech, what does it say here? Vihi choshech al eretz Mitzrayim. It means that there's a creation of a different kind of choshech coming here.
Right.
It's not the absence of sun. It's not like a 3-day eclipse.
Right.
It's not 3 days of night. It's a choshech which comes from, like, Ma'aseh Bereishis.
Right.
Okay? Or something like Ma'aseh Bereishis. That's the first point that he makes. So,
and if they're accepting that this time it is Chosha that is being created, as opposed to before that, it is all that is being created.
Yeah, so skip to the middle. Skip to the middle where he says, Elo Haisa Tavni So. You find it? It's towards the end of the ninth line, I think it is. Elo Haisa Tavni So. You have it?
Yes, last three words.
Elohai satav nisa katav nisa afilo velo shayis sibas afilo inyanim idim oktorm sha'afilu ba'ad or shemesh. Right? It's not a kind of darkness that comes without the light of the sun. Avala aretz ira b'yom l'or shemesh uvalayla l'or hayarech. In other words, the natural order was still going on. The sun rose, the moon rose, rakla mitzrayim levada afilo l'aynayim or afilo l'aynayim oisem. There was a sun, there was a moon, everything was normal. So the whole world's not going to see this. It was only in Egypt. Okay? It was like a blind person or somebody's missing eyes. They didn't become blind. It wasn't like what happened in Sodom at Lot's house. Their eyes were as healthy as ever. What does that mean? It's not something we can conceptualize or visualize because we just don't know what this is. Where does he get this from? One word. He put something in front of their eyes so that they're, and that's what it means. Viyamesh choshech. Viyamesh choshech. Not that. You know, when you see all these pictures and the paintings, it's darkness everywhere. He says, no, baloney. There was a darkness just right here, right in front of their face. So they couldn't see. It just blocked off their eyes from being able to take in light. Okay, and to me, it's just a fascinating. And he even makes a distinction. He says, for example, you know, it says, read the way the pasuk describes it.
They
couldn't see each other. Okay? So he says the Bnei Israel had light b'moshav osam where they lived. And is it here? Was it here? Yeah. Skip to the end. Let's see.
Second line.
Hold on a second. Yeah, skip to the last one. No, he doesn't say it here. Hold on, where was it? It's the next one. It's the next comment. It's the next comment that I gave you. I gave you Moshe Mosam? Yeah, so go to there. Eina Kavana, when it says that there was light, but Moshe Mosam, he says, Eina Kavana al Eretz Goshen, Shari Tamid Zachar Eretz Goshen. Whenever it says V'hifla Hashem Bein this Uvein Eretz Goshen, so the fact that it says that there was light B'moshe V'osam in their dwelling places, it doesn't mean specifically Goshen, right? But Aro B'bara, it talks about V'hifla Hashem. Hashem makes a distinction between this place and Goshen. V'yamar Kan Moshe V'osam Shushav Al Hamitzrim. He says that the word Moshe V'osam L'chol B'nei Yisrael Hayor. Bnei Israel had light. And what's B'moshav Osam? B'moshav Osam in the Moshavos of the Egyptians. La'aros lanu shelo yachoshech ala aretz. It's showing us that there wasn't darkness on the land, right? As we saw before. The sun rose in the day, the moon rose at night. El hamitzri yosheb afela. V'allah v'alkiso hayor. However, even though the Egyptian is sitting in darkness, but there's light all around him. Bnei Israel had light where the Egyptians were, not because they had a candle and it worked, not because they had a flashlight, not because they're channeling the light of the sun which is hidden from all of Egypt. No, they had light because they weren't blocked off with this choshech. Aval be'eretz Goshen oyegam kein choshech. What do you mean? In the land of Goshen there was also choshech. Guess what? Ki mitzriim rabim yashvu be'eretz Goshen b'soch bnei Israel. Baliem of Arkoza says there were plenty of Egyptians living in Goshen. And how do we know that? Because if the Bnei Israel, the only ones live, if the Bnei Israel are living in Goshen, so what do you need to have the blood over the Pesach for? Right? The whole point is, V'avarti Be'eretz Mitzrayim, I'm going to jump over these houses. That means that Egyptians and Bnei Israel, they lived in the same neighborhood. Okay? Because they still had their houses from the days when things were good. There's no, right, in other words, whatever the Bnei Israel had available to them, likewise, had no impact whatsoever on whatever happened to the Egyptians. Mashain King Shara Makos, Ilu, Bo, Beretz Goshen, Yimitsarim, Gam Israel. Right, the Bnei Israel weren't affected by this.
Right.
Because it didn't go to their eyes in the same way that it went to the Egyptian eyes. Whereas if the Makkah of Aro, for example, or if the Makkah of whatever it was, went into Goshen. So, and by the way, that answers an amazing question to us, right? Where do you have, where you have a distinction, you don't have all the Egyptians complaining, right? Where is the distinction? Aro, Barad, and maybe I'll make an argument that in Goshen, maybe also the Dever didn't impact some people. Could be. Because we find later on the Egyptians have cattle. They have cattle. So how could that be? Right, there are plenty of.
That's a very good point. Because it always bothered by the fact that it says the ones said it would kill all of them. Then it says the ones who were left over.
Like, right. So I have another insight. There are plenty of connections between the Dever and Barad. Least of which is that they have the same letters in the play. Uh-huh. They're both called Kaved Ma'od, and we know that in Barad it says, if you want to save your cattle, Hayareis Tvar Hashem, bring them inside. Yeah. So I think that the same thing happened in Dever, that it says all the animals that are out in the field are going to die, which implies
right, the ones inside,
animals which are not
right,
don't die. So that's another way.
Wow.
Okay. Mashen ki makas chosh rabbi sheba gam beretz Goshen yadu ki racham Hashem Yisrael shari shamu kolam smechim betovilev. So the Egyptians who live in Goshen, they hear that Bnei Yisrael are moving around, everything's fine, but the Egyptians they couldn't do it because of the impact that the plague had. Happened. Okay, we're basically done. What?
The nekama, it will come on the Palestinians. They are daunting now on the death of Jews. Somewhere that circle has to be paid off.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. Okay. So the next one, I'm just going in Parakeet Aleph Pasuk Beis. He talks about Vayishalu. He proves that Vayishalu is not a question of, it's not asking, it's not borrowing. It's for a matana gemura. Okay, that's the point that he says. He says it's a matana shelo amanas lahachzir, and he brings proof to make that point.
Okay.
Just to bring one example regarding Shmuel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ki anochi gam anochi hishaltiu. Right.
Yes, yes.
She's not saying I asked for God to give me a child so I can give him back. It's a gift. I get a child. Okay, now, she may have designated him and dedicated him to the temple, but she didn't offer him as a sacrifice. Okay, so that was that one. Bechori Af. Oh, this is fascinating. Also, when Moshe, I mean, I my own insight on this one is that after Moshe tells Paro about the warning about Makas Bechoros, so Paro says, I don't care. And so Moshe runs out. The Pasuk says, that Moshe runs out by Itzei Meim Paro Bechoriaf. It says that Moshe ran out Bechoriaf. So what does Choriaf mean? So that he was angry, right? Bechoriaf. So I always think that Moshe is just, you know, he's looking out for every man Egyptian. Why do Egyptians have to die? And Paro's saying, I don't care. So the Ksava Kabbalah's insight on Bechoriaf is that it has nothing to do with anger. Because how could you say that Moshe is getting angry? This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is patient, Savonut, right? He says Bechoriaf refers to the turning of the head. That Paro had said to Moshe, you're not going to see my face anymore. Okay. He proves it. He says that either Moshe turned his face or Paro turned his face, but he says that Bechoriaf refers to Paro. And it's not anger. It's not anger.
Right.
It has to do with the turning of the face. And of course, the Af is the most prominent feature of the face. And so therefore, that has something to do with it. Okay, I think is that the last one that we had? The last one. Oh, Moshav Bnei Israel. Okay, I already gave you some of that. Let me see if I can just summarize it for you. Because I took notes. Hold on, this is Pasuk Mem.
Yeah, Pasuk Mem.
Pasuk Mem. Okay. Pasuk Mem. Okay, so he goes to great lengths to, he doesn't really like the idea that the 430 starts with the Bris Bein Abasarim at when Avram is 70 years old. That's what Seder Olam says. He doesn't really like that. So he goes to great lengths to try to explain how 430 is actually a number. So I mentioned to you before how 215, right, you count 5 years of Menashe and Ephraim existing. He says, Hare Reish Tes Vav Shana, I think it's halfway. No, it's about a third of the way through. Hare Reish Tes Vav Shana, Yamim Valelos, Hare Taf Lamid Shana. Okay, he says that's 215 times two, because you have to count it. You have to count day and night, because normally you would only count the days. That's one idea that he has. Another one that he has is that there's 210 years in Egypt and 220 years that the Avos lived in other places, which is, you know, I mean, that's the same idea about Abraham starting off at age 70, because that's how you explained it. There is another approach that he has here, which actually moves some years around in Egypt itself. But anyway, the bottom line is that the easiest answer is that it starts counting 30 years before the birth of Yitzchak. Although the nicest dvort that I ever heard is, if you actually look at the pasuk, with Parakid Beis Pasuk Mem, is that what it is?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I heard this from Rabbi Lef on a shir on Wayu Torah, which I think I also quoted last year. But we'll just conclude with this one. If you look at Pasuk Mem, the Pasuk says, Moshe b'nei Yisrael shor yashavu b'mitzrayim shloshim shana v'arba'a me'eo shana v'ahim miketz shloshim shana v'arba'a me'eo shana v'ahim b'atzim ayam hazeh yatzu kol tzavos Hashem me'eretz Mitzrayim. He says that b'nei Yisrael live yashavu b'mitzrayim.
Where are we?
We're on page 358 in the Chumash. Moshe b'nei Yisrael asher yashavu b'mitzrayim, they lived in Mitzrayim, was 30 and 400 years. And after 30 and 400 years, Pasuk Mem Aleph, Be'atzmei Yom HaZeh, Yotzu Kol Tzvos Hashem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. He says, what's the difference between Mitzrayim and Eretz Mitzrayim?
Okay.
He says, yeah, after 430 years, they leave Eretz Mitzrayim. That's right. The land of Egypt. Right. But Mitzrayim doesn't mean the land.
Eternally?
Mitzrayim referred, this is Rabbi Lidlath, I don't remember where he got it from or if this is his own idea, but he said that Mitzrayim refers to, it's like Mitzarim, right? Mina Mitzar. Mina Mitzar Karas, yes. Yeah. In other words, the idea that they're just not in a place of their own exists from the time that Abraham was called. That's 430 years, but it's Yashvu b'Mitzrayim, that they were living in different, they didn't live in Egypt for 430 years, in the land of Egypt, but at the end of the 430 years, they leave Eretz Mitzrayim. How long did they live in Mitzrayim? In Eretz Mitzrayim, right. 210. Oh, right. But in Mitzrayim, whatever Mitzrayim means, whatever additional constraints, not being your own nation, not being able to forge your own future, your own identity, that's what it means to be in a state of Mitzrayim, not a state with a capital S, but a lowercase s. Yeah. Eretz Mitzrayim, that's where they leave after the 430 years, but not having lived in Egypt proper for 430 years. They were in Egypt for 210 years. So, you know, it's a nice way to explain it. And if you just look at it 430, counting from 30 years before the birth of Yitzchak, then you understand that Avram is told one thing about your children, 400 years, but that starts when you have a child. Okay? But 430 started from earlier. And that's so it ends up not being in conflict. I think it's a nice word and a good way to conclude. Okay.